Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for July 7, 2023, live in the spare bedroom in San Francisco, California,
in front of 7,000
screaming fan. Kevin, where are you at? Thank you very much.
No, Kevin, baby. Like you're excited, not like you're being murdered.
Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I am joined on this beautiful Friday by the one and only Greg Miller.
Hello, Timothy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Greg, last night?
Yeah.
I told you yesterday morning when we did Games Daily, all right, Final Fantasy 16, I've done all that I can for now. So I have to put it down, as hard as that is for me.
Sure.
I got to go back to Zelda.
Yeah.
Oh, and I did. I played about 4 hours of Zelda last night. I'm back, Greg. It was so hard making the transition in terms of especially the combat.
Yeah.
I was like, Zelda, come on, man.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, I started slowing down, started avoiding enemies as much as possible.
Sure.
Started just doing them puzzles. Finding them light routes.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know light route. I know light route here or there. Yeah.
Oh, it's good. It's damn good, Greg. They got me back.
Good.
Can't wait to keep going.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm on cloud nine.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now? So you bring up Zelda. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, my whole Final Fantasy thing. Of course, yesterday, which is the number one story here, Diablo announces their season pass launch, when that's starting, yada, yada, yada. At which point I messaged Jen. I'm like, yo, we got to complete the campaign of Diablo because we've been dragging our feet.
Clock.
And she was like,
it's ticking.
Let's get back into it tonight. So, of course, didn't even touch Final Fantasy last night.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to playing Zelda with my wife last night. The Diablo with my wife last night. That's one. Have a great time, Greg Miller. The next is, I confirmed this in a Greg way. I'll confirm it here. And it'll get back to everything, video games, if you don't care about this part. Going to SummerSlam. Doing stuff at WWE with SummerSlam, right? Booked my flights yesterday. I was like, oof, 5 hours to Detroit. And then I was like, wait. That's 10 hours of Zelda, baby, I don't sleep on the plane.
Yeah.
So I got stoked about that, right?
You're
That's
sleep.
Good enough. I know. But I'll definitely play some as well. Because now I'm like, and this is going to be one of those, you know what? Oh, no, I do need my computer, I guess, don't I, for some of the stuff I'm doing. I was going to say, you know what? It's just the Switch is the only thing I pack.
Yeah.
But now I have to pack a computer. But I won't use it on the plane. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Switch will be the main thing. Then, last night, when we sit down to play Diablo, I, of course, we're playing. I'm like, wait, what time is it? Click on a Spotify, speak now. Taylor's version is out. You know what I mean? Question from the chat. Oliver wrote in, of course, like you can for free on this show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and says, hi, Greg. What is your favorite Speak Now Taylor's version from the Vault song? Happy Speak Now Taylor's version release day. I tweeted this last night, of course, but for me, it's Hours. That's arguably my favorite Taylor Swift song, period.
Mm.
So the fact that that's been out there. And you could make the argument that's not really from the vault, but if you remember, Hours was originally only on the Target version of the CD when Speak Now originally launched, so I'm counting it. Yeah. And I'm saying Hours. So popped on Hours right away. Jen's like, what are you watching? I'm like, nothing. There's new Taylor's putting out new old music, and I needed to hear my song.
New old music,
I need to hear what my song listened to. Then I wake up this morning.
Well, hold on. Before that, like, what was the thoughts on your song's new version?
Great. I mean, you know, all these Taylor's versions things, I'm excited for, and I am a Taylor Swift nerd enough to be like, oh, man, her voice really has matured over the years. It's changed and stuff, but it's still the same song. You know what I mean? It's not like she's shaking it up and putting some like, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
What I'm waiting for.
Shake it off.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, okay.
1989.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
I wasn't too swift, Greg, to the Taylor Swift
with the
life. You know what I mean?
Stop with the
I can't. Th- no real talk, though. Where's 1989 at? Is that...
I love 1989.
Where's it at in terms of like the Taylor version? Because that's the one I'm waiting for. That was my real introduction into this world.
Well, she keeps us guessing. She doesn't tell us. You know what I mean? She likes to keep us on our toes of when you're going to get all these things out there and stuff. So no one knows she gives you teases. She gives you hints at what the next one will be or whatever. But I don't think we even have that yet. But I don't follow to that degree, period. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's people who are like insane about all of it.
You know what I mean?
There's your Joey's.
Uh-huh.
There's your Belinda's.
Totally.
You know what I mean? I just love the music, and I enjoy that there's stuff out. Anyways, though, then I wake up this morning, Tim, and I go, and open my phone, and what do I find out, ladies and gentlemen? WWE Survivor Series is coming to Chicago, Illinois, in the Allstate Arena.
Can you believe it, Greg?
I cannot. Because just yesterday I was talking about this Detroit trip and that, and I'm like, well, I'm going to bring Poe and I'm going to bring Jack, Poe's son, right? We're going to have a little boys weekend. But then I felt bad of like, well, you know, I guess I could technically. Detroit's close to Chicago. I could invite my dad. I could invite my mom. I could, but I'm like, that's a flight. That's a, or a 5-hour drive. Like, that kind of sucks. And I told Jen last night when I'm like, I'm just going to do me, Poe, and Jack, boys weekend. WWE will come to Chicago soon enough and I'll be able to go to it. And then they did this, which of course is the Survivor Series is at the end of Thanksgiving weekend, meaning that I will already be in Chicago. I was already going to be there. They're doing SmackDown on Friday, Survivor Series on Saturday. Perfect. Of course, I work there. So I immediately hit up my producer and I'm like, we have to go big. We have to go big for Survivor Series. And he says, I'm in. So this is the thing of, what am I going to do at Survivor Series? Probably pre-show, I assume, and everything else or whatever. But Mrs. Miller's baby boy is coming home. And this is my whole thing of like, get me in the ring. And I'm not even
get
live.
Get me in the ring. It's not even
live.
Series.
Not even live. Let me come out 10 minutes before and talk to the crowd and just do the whole thing of like, because like, it's not even that it's in Chicago, whatever, my home area, right? Like I'm a suburb kid, but it's at the Allstate Arena. It's at the Rosemont Horizon. When you hear me tell the fucking story of August 9th, 1999, changed my life when Chris Jericho debuted, I am at the Allstate
that
Arena.
Is so
I am
cool.
At the Rosemont Horizon. I've been to that arena dozens of times for WWE show. I've never been backstage. I've never worked at the arena and done something there. Like, that is coming home. That
Dude.
Is like, I was like getting choked up thinking about it today. So like, for real, get me out there because I want to do a whole thing like dreams come true and like point at the section and like,
yeah,
over. I was over there for when we dressed as Right to Censor and all of this is the upper bowl, cheapest seats. We're high school kids, you know what I mean? And like dreams come true. I'm in the ring right now.
You're
like,
gonna that get touch that ring, touch that mat.
And then of course I tweeted about it and of so many Chicago area best friends being like, I'll be there. I'm gonna be there. It's so like now we got to get a meet and greet. We got to do all this stuff or whatever. We got to get hundreds of kind of funny best friends to Screaming wherever the fan. Pre-show is. You know what I mean? The pre-show surrounded.
Totally.
Drowned out Booker T. Put me on the entire thing.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. So it's everything's coming up Millhouse today. We're having a good day.
I'm so excited for you, Greg. All that is the coolest thing ever.
Not to mention,
uh-huh.
This is something we take for granted because, of course, remember in 2018 into 2019, I had that hell of a run where I did like 5 pay-per-views back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
This will be, I will bat the order this year. I worked Royal Rumble backstage. I worked WrestleMania backstage. I'm going to SummerSlam to work backstage, and then I will do Survivor Series in some way.
The Big Four.
I will do the Big Four WWE pay-per-view as an official WWE superstar.
You've done it. You've made it. You are officially a WWE superstar. Girl.
Yeah, I got to get that Intercontinental Championship now. Gunther, get out
of
here.
Yeah, that's the one you should aim for.
I've shown I can take a chop. I can take a chop.
Before we get into the Games Daily, though, there's something you bring it up, Taylor Swift. There's another star of the summer, Drake.
Never heard
Snow Mike Mike has been hyping up his tour as being the show of the summer. The show has finally started. Have you seen any clips from this yesterday?
No.
Good. I'm very happy you haven't. Kevin, I just put 2 Twitter links. No audio, please, for this. I just need everybody to see this because it's pretty damn wild. All right?
Okay.
Drake comes out.
Wait, yeah. Sorry. Where did you put those?
The top before the Today's Stories include.
Oh, on the articles. Sorry. Yeah.
On Games Daily. Yeah. So no audio for this. Go with the top one first. I want to talk about it, and then we'll go to the second. All right?
Yeah.
So Drake comes out, puts on a hell of a show. So many fun, crazy gimmicks and, like, pushing tech and stuff. The moment, though, that everybody's talking about, you can hit play here.
No audio!
I turned it off. I just turned the cell
phone. I hear you, brother.
Sorry.
There's a hologram of his younger self that he is rapping to. All right?
Oh.
And it is uncanny.
What?
And people are like,
that's not a person?
What is happening here?
I understand seeing it from the screen.
So it's like, this
from the front. United Center, too. Chicago, what up?
So that's the thing. People are trying to figure out what this is. And they're saying it's a hologram. But I find it hard to believe because this second
Drake's
clip here.
Hologram hands him a book if you're an audio listener. Go for it. Comes over here.
He hands him a physical book, Greg.
How?
So what? It's got to be a guy who looks like him, and then they put some kind of computer stuff over his face.
So
right?
That's the thing. We were right. Me, Roger, and Kevin were looking at this, trying to break it down as well.
Yeah.
His hands look weird. So this guy might just have weird hands. But
got it.
It looks off.
Have you seen any more of it? Like, does it just start with the couch on there and him there, or?
These two clips are as far as we've gotten.
This is crazy. I want to go so badly. We should go to this concert.
Everybody's shouting out. It's just a filter, right?
It's a real guy with a filter on the face is what people are saying. I mean, again,
That was my theory.
That was our theory as well. Like, talking about it, like, that would make sense because there is a practicality to this.
Yeah.
But there is a weird thing about his hands. They look CG. This is a PS5 reveal all over again.
Damn, Jim Ryan, are you fake?
That's how I bring it back to video games. Because today's stories include, is Diablo 4 season structure dumb or fun? Sega turns on NFTs, hell yes, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Of course, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We come at you with all the video game news that you need to know. You can be part of the show by going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. If we get something wrong during the show, please go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to correct us as we screw it up. And remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to support us at the utmost, and we appreciate you all so very, very much for doing that, including Delaney Twining, our Patreon producer. He's out there living his best life, getting so much free bonus content, Greg. His life is just straight up ad-free. No worries for the rest of his days. Fantastic stuff all around. Some of the stuff that he's getting includes Remember Your Summer Gaming Moments that Greg's about to record today for Remember Blank.
Correct.
And the latest Greg Way, balancing and prioritizing 2023's biggest games.
And that was yesterday's Greg Way. There's a Greg Way every day. What's today's Greg Way going to be? I have no idea. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Comment on the last Greg Way about what I should talk about today.
Yeah, exactly. And because of your support on Patreon, everybody gets to partake in the goodness of love, sex, and stuff. A new episode is live now on youtube.com/kindoffunny, where we get live call-ins from the audience and give some life advice. And you know what? We don't do too bad a job, and that always surprises me. So go check it out and enjoy some of that fun. Gamescast is recording this afternoon on Patreon and then going live as soon as possible. It's late. It's Friday. Just scheduling the week got a little wild, so this one's going to be a one-on-one with me and Greg. It should be fun. Really excited about it.
A lot of great questions have been written into kindoffunny.com/gamescast. I stole one for a Greg Way yesterday.
Good, 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 good. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen!
Story number one, Diablo 4 Season 1 release date details come from Kat Bailey at IGN. Diablo 4 Season 1 will release on July 20th. Blizzard revealed in a new live stream that also included a host of new details about the upcoming content update. Before I even go on there, July 20th, Season 1 releasing. That feels pretty soon compared to the launch of this game.
Yeah.
That seems good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the cadence we want, right? We want new content coming. Yeah.
Cool. Just check it in. Get a little temp check from you before.
Well, I mean, you're going to get to.
Oh, yeah.
There's a temp check on the audience, and there is a big conversation between the hardcore, the casual, and who's playing how.
And so where would you put yourself right now? Hardcore, casual?
Oh, I mean, it's hilarious.
A hardcore, casual?
I would. Yeah. No, I'm probably a casual hardcore. Like, it's that thing where it's like the people who are hardcore about Diablo only play Diablo and have all this max shit and done all this crazy stuff and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I love Diablo. I've played probably more of it than any other game this year, I say. And, I, you know, even when Jen's not doing story stuff with me, I'm playing on my own or whatever. But, like, I'm not running a max character, right? Like, I'm only, like, level 51, I think, because, you know, the side stuff isn't helping me out too much without Jen doing the story stuff and yada, yada, yada.
So I'm sitting here in the host seat, Greg, so I get to take control.
I love it. Have the conversation.
We have
do what you got
to
do.
Stories that we're trying to get to. I want to go a little deeper into you and Diablo, because I have some questions here. I know Diablo 3, when it came to PlayStation, that's when you really got in, because obviously you ain't playing the little clicky-clicks over on the PC.
So. I can, if we wanted to, go out and dig it out. We can find that when Diablo 3 launched, I bought Anthony Gallegos' old PC for SimCity. Then Diablo 3 came out, and I played it on that. So there's photos of me in the old place, the old studio, the old apartment, me and Colin's place where we ran the company from, at the coffee table, with the coffee table, with the keyboard, the mouse, me sitting on the floor with my back to the couch and Diablo on the big screen there.
Yeah, I remember that because we made a really stupid IGN original the first day that that came out, and the servers were all down, and Anthony Gallegos dressed up like a Jedi and did the execute order.
Whatever
instead of 66, the error was on Diablo, and we thought it was hilarious.
We were hilarious. We were the funniest people ever.
Okay, everybody, deal with it. Anyways, Diablo 2 was the big one in my life, not because I played it, but because
in general, the
kid down the street that had a computer that played games, he was really into Diablo 1. He bought it on PlayStation, and I just remember being like, I don't get this. This is not for me. PlayStation 1. And then Diablo 2, they were just obsessed with. And I know that the internet loved that game.
Yeah.
That is like one of the touchstones. Have you ever been interested in going back to Diablo 2, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of like the, at least OG style gold standard for these games?
I have not. No, I've never been interested in that. Obviously, Diablo 3 I enjoyed quite a bit. Then, yeah, as you said, it came to PlayStation. That was great. And it was, the Reaper of Souls edition. That was fantastic. They've since put out Diablo 2 on consoles. They put it out, in
the remastered one.
But there it was just like at that point that dropped, and it was like Diablo 4 is on the horizon. Close enough. Like, I forget how many years it was in between, but it was like I was in the middle of a million other reviews, and I didn't want to go backwards. I wanted to see what the genre looks like going forwards.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, then continuing on then with the new story, titled Season of the Malignant, the new seasonal content will bring with it a brand new questline featuring new faces and new enemies, new powers, the first season journey, and the first battle pass. It takes place after the events of the main campaign and introduces a new character in Cormand, an ex-priest from the Cathedral of Light who's trying to stop the spread of the Malignant. Season of the Malignant features a dangerous new threat in the form of malignant monsters spreading throughout Sanctuary. Talking about video games that you don't know is always the silliest, stupidest fucking thing.
We got malignant monsters over here.
Any elite monster will be able to spawn as a malignant monster with additional powers. Malignant monsters can be defeated by drawing out their corruption and trapping their malignant hearts.
Gotta do it. You gotta get them.
Which can then be inserted into rings and amulets, naturally. To battle the creatures, Blizzard says Season of the Malignant will include new builds that are stupidly powerful, thanks to the new malignant powers. Blizzard also hinted at a new boss monster, new legendary items, new unique items, and more. The new items won't be season exclusive, Blizzard says, and will appear in the Eternal Realm, too. The new season journey will take place over 7 chapters, with each chapter featuring multiple objectives that can be completed for rewards like Favor, which can be used to open up rewards in the Diablo 4 Battle Pass. According to Blizzard, the Battle Pass includes a free tier where everyone can earn seasonal boosts in order to accelerate progress. The paid tier also includes exclusive cosmetics. Blizzard has previously confirmed that Diablo 4 will continue evolving and expanding for years to come. This includes 2 confirmed expansions as well as a robust roadmap. The Season of the Malignant patch will drop on July 18th with new items and balance changes available on Eternal Realm from that time. Every single thing I just read there, I might not understand, but it sounds good to me. This sounds like exactly what I would want from a game like this that I want to live in and want to keep playing.
Uh-huh.
July 20th doesn't seem too long after launch. July 18th, you get in the patch, hopefully get some of them bugs out before it actually comes out.
Yep.
It's all sunshine and rainbows. Am I right?
Yes, for the most part. But Diablo 4 has done something most games, especially sequelized iterative games, wish they could do and found a brand new audience. This is a lot of people's first Diablo, and if not your first Diablo, it might be your first Diablo with the seasons going on. They were in Diablo 3, but they got added later and da-da-da-da-da-da. And so what you're seeing right now is excitement for this, and then a bunch of people waking up to the fact of, wait, when the season drops, I have to roll a new character? So like right now, the character you're playing as, or characters you're playing as, right, are happening in the Eternal Realm. They're, it's the only realm you have to play in or whatever, da-da-da-da-da. And when this drops, there's going to be the Seasonal Realm, which you have to roll a new character to play in. You can't bring any of your characters to the Seasonal Realm. When the season ends, you can take your seasonal character then to the Eternal Realm and keep playing with them there. But the next season that drops, you have to roll a new character for. Okay. Every one of these seasons gets a new character. And we are seeing a lot of people, young and old, very old. Old people like Gary Whitta say, quote, against, because I said, are you for or against this? And because it's dumb. Gary thinks this is dumb, and it's led to an interesting conversation to the point of last night, Jen and I are playing, hour whatever of just beating the shit out of these fucking zombies or whatever. And I was just like, so are you excited to roll a new character for the season? And she went, what? And I had explained all this to her, right? That it's like, we can't do this thing, da-da-da. You're seeing push and pull, I think, from the audience. Paul Tassi over at Forbes does a lot of great games as service writing, and I follow him on Twitter, and I enjoy his commentary. And I got to see in real time him, this is weeks ago now, around the launch, where he tweeted something about playing it, enjoying it, and then excited for seasons. And then the real time, like, wait, what? I got to roll a new character, and then writing about it and going through. And so it's like there's almost not stages of grief, but stages of acceptance of what's going on and how you feel about it. And I'm not dismissive of Gary or his camp, because there are plenty of people who are like, this is stupid. I want to use my same character, right?
I'm with that.
You are with that?
Yeah.
Here's the, and this is interesting because I think, no offense to you, you're an outsider to it, right? last night, especially, Jen and I are playing whatever umpteenth hour of going through and just beating the shit out of all these things and killing all these things and yada, yada, yada. And her, she's a necromancer, and the goddamn number of skeletons on the screen where I can't even see my character because she's just smashing stuff. And I'm, Jen, God bless her.
Skellies.
She's doing the damage. That's what I need from her, right? It was that idea of, I don't have the connection. Diablo, at least for us now, dozens of hours into it, right? is not a story game. It is not that I've been on this grand adventure with my character who I named Genevieve, which is very confusing then to be playing with Genevieve. We've gone through and we've been in the cutscenes and we've done the thing. I'm just playing that game. I am just grinding in that game and beating up on things and doing something. It's the rare one where I don't feel the connection to the character. It isn't like I'm...
Does anybody? And not anybody, but like, do many people?
I think that's where people like Gary are coming from. Where, no, I chose this class, I did this thing, I'm putting all this time into it, I've pushed it, I'm getting Paragon points now, I'm above 50, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, I'm playing on Nightmare 3, I'm doing, like, they're having that thing of, I've crafted this character to be a badass, I don't want to start again.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you're not up on all the Diablo stuff, right, once you beat the campaign and you roll a new character, you can start that character at 50. Like, you can go in there and do all that stuff. So it's not like you're starting at one, working your way up. You get all the skill points to then go through and do what you want with it.
Interesting. Okay.
So it is a sandbox. It is a play box. It is to the, if you really were so tied up in, like, you know, I play as shit, not rogue because that's not the class anymore. What's the one I'm thinking of, chat? You know me, bone arrows and it is rogue, right? They changed it back from something else last time around. Anyways, doesn't matter. They'll get to me in a second. I am rogue. I'm thinking of last time around in Diablo 3 when I was with my crossbow. Doesn't matter. Anyways, I'm rogue in this one. Sorry, I played too late last night, and I did fall asleep. Jen had to wake me up at one point. I've told you these stories before.
I love
anyways,
that.
Though.
God bless you.
Demon Hunter. Thank you. That's what I was hung up. I was Demon Hunter in 3. I'm a rogue in this one. Anyways, if you were so hung up on being a rogue or being a druid or being a necromancer, right, you could just then, okay, cool, I'm going to roll the exact same character. I'm going to start this seasonal character, make that thing, go through, make my skill tree exactly the same, and play from that. But then, of course, you'd be like, well, I had more Paragon points over there. I did all this stuff over there. There's a spice of life that in this game of variety where I love the character I've created, but I know everything and how the combos work and what I've done with my trees and yada, yada, yada. I do find myself here on the precipice of being like, you know what? For a seasonal update, I am pretty stoked about that. And I was shocked. I put this up on Twitter. Oh, hey, you know, are you for or against the seasons? Why or why not? And Gary was very much in the minority. Again, granted, it's a vocal minority. I've heard from him before when we've talked about this before. But there were so many other people who wrote in, right? Sean Murphy says, as a first-time Diablo character, I was confused at first. However, I'm now excited about the prospect of picking a new class and having a new chase. It adds to the replayability, in my opinion, right? Steve Vegevari said, and I think hit something interesting here that I think is very much where we are right now, like you said, of how close this is to launch. I'm for the idea of rolling a new character and trying a new class, especially as seasons are filling a quarterly window. It should keep things fresh. I do wish that for this season, we got to keep our existing character, especially since launch is so fresh. When you listen to Diablo and Rod and everybody over at Blizzard talk about why they're doing this, their reasoning does make sense, I think, of we want everybody to start from the same place. We want you to have this fresh experience. And as you read through how people have written in, right, like, I think there's a lot of interesting talks on that of, like, what's going to be cool is that this balances it out, right? You can get in there and all have the same thing. Francois writes in and says, I get why some people don't like it. I feel like it's the more casual players feel this the most. I think you got a typo in there, but they feel this the most, right? For them, this is losing a lot of progress. That sucks. I play quite a bit. One friend is on Nightmare 2, one friend is on Nightmare 3, and I'm on Nightmare 4. These are the world tiers, right, of how hard the worlds are and what your rewards are going to be. This great reset gets us playing together again. And I think that's a really interesting point, right? Like, when I log on and, like, when Jen doesn't want to play, and I'm like, okay, cool, I want to do stuff, but I can't do story stuff. But then also that gates me from what world tier I can go to. I see Fran on. And I see Fran, and I might even be, you know, I don't want to insult him. I thought I saw him at 87 the other day. By now, he's probably whatever. Grind, you are fucking grinding, let me tell you. Again, like, I thought the pace to 50 was great. And then once I hit 50, I just hit 51 or 52 last night. And I was like, holy shit, this is taking forever. Doesn't matter. I see that on Fran's thing, and I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to slow him down. I don't want to drag him down. He's probably doing higher level stuff for better level gear. And like, there's, you know, you can play together and do the things, but it's like, I'm not even 100% sure as somebody who, again, is about to beat the story because I finally got Jen back in gear. Except for we have a date night tonight, so we won't be playing a lot. Thanks for nothing, Tim and Gia. It's that idea of like, I don't know what that would do to Fran. There's those kind of things where it's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Seasons eliminate that, where I can talk to Fran. And especially, I do think in the long run, eventually Jen's going to be like, I've had enough Diablo.
Yeah.
And I think when that happens, that's when I'm going to be, all right, Joey, Mike, Andy, you know, Joey, of course, has played so much of it. Mike stopped playing as much as he was. I don't even think Andy's touched it maybe since the last stream. There's a new season dropping. Let's all jump in. Let's all go. Let's work on this battle pass. Let's get some cool stuff. There's rewards to play.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially reading through this. Like, the pros and cons, I totally understand both sides. Something I just want to add to this is this reminds me, again, as an outsider to this, it reminds me a bit of the conversation around Halo Infinite when it was first dropping, and they were so confident in their progression system of how online progression was going to work. And it was different than how it worked before. And everyone was kind of like, I don't know about this. Like, this isn't what we want. I don't know. But they're like, no, just trust us. Just trust us. Just trust us. And like, I was even on the side of, hey, just trust them. Like, they got something. They're working on this. And like, at the end of the day, it didn't work out. And I do think that that was a big part of Halo Infinite not. There was a lot of issues with it, but I think that that was a core reason that people didn't stick with it in those early days. And this, to me, going back to what Steve was saying, of like, I wish for this season we got to keep our existing character. I feel like that you're at the moment right now with Diablo that, intentions be damned, the most people are playing right now. And how do you keep them going? I feel like it would probably, in 2023, would have been worth trying to figure out a way to have the option of re-rolling for the people that just want to jump in and be able to be on the same demon scale level or whatever it was. Or, hey, you can also continue your character because you've invested this much time. And like, there are more people playing games this way now that understand what that means.
Yeah.
Because there are more gamers than ever. There are more mobile gamers, the transition to core gamers, to whatever it is. I don't know.
This one came from It's Redacted, and I think it's an interesting way to frame it, right? Especially as a veteran, which is who It's Redacted on Twitter is. If you're against rolling a new character for the season, then you need to get with it or go play something else. This is how it's always been, and they aren't going to change it just because a bunch of new players don't like it. This game is about the grind. I think It's Redacted is coming at it in its Twitter and its whatever. Very, very confrontational, but there's a lot of truth in that.
There's like, truth. But things change.
But go. Yeah. It could be better. I do think that if you were, I think even when they pitched this originally, and I was on the outside, and again, I didn't do seasons in Diablo 3. I was already gone by that point. When they announced this is how they're doing their season pass, yada, yada, I was like, oh, that sucks. I'm going to love being my character and doing this thing. And like, yes, I know that so many people roll a bunch of different tunes. You have your, people want to touch every class and yada, yada, yada. Something we've seen through here, like the working class gamer time of how much time you have to play. What our job is of reviewing a game, coming home, like I'm never going to have time to hit max level on four different characters. There is, again, last night's realization of talking and thinking about it while I was playing, of just like, I am here for the gameplay. I am here for the grind. I am here for the dopamine rush of hitting the next level and getting the ding and me and Jen sing a happy birthday song every time one of us level up. We're weirdos.
That is unfortunate. All the songs in the world.
Well, it's the like jazzy one. Happy birthday to you.
Absolutely fine.
Thank you very much. That is what I am there for. And so I am not there for, and I am actually excited. Like, I've seen Mike's Electric Sorcerer, right? Where I'm like, damn, that's a cool build. That's something. I think that's going to be my first seasonal role on it or whatever. And so I am with you that I think right now the most people are playing. And what's, of course, important is, like, this isn't ending your Diablo 4 chase. If you're enjoying what you're doing now and you have a group that's still grinding out the highest levels and doing the dungeons and clearing them, like, that's all still there. None of it's being taken away. There's just going to be this side seasonal stuff that you could go do. And so I do think it's going to be interesting of, I think with this many people doing it and this many people seeing it, and when it drops on July 20th, right, and people go and go, oh, I'm going to do this, and oh, I got to reroll a character. Oh, that sucks, or it doesn't suck, or whatever. If they do it and they get in, will they find that they like it? Will they find that, oh, wait a second, I'm experimenting with a new build. I'm doing something different. This is fun. Are they going to have the thing of like, I've thought about it, again, with the way Jen and I are playing, right? I'm often like, man, fuck, I should probably roll another character that I can just do whatever the fuck I want with. That way, I can have my main character that I'm waiting for Jen to finish the story on. And I was like, but if I'm doing that, like, and I talk myself out of it. Whereas with this, why not, right? Where it's like, this would be a solution. Right now, if this season was out, I wouldn't have a concern because I would go, okay, well, I'm going to go play my seasonal character while I wait for Jen, which actually gets kind of messy because of the whole you have to beat the campaign, but stick with me for the argument, right? Like, I think there's a chance that even though this is different and even though this is something Gary says he doesn't want, maybe Gary will get in, try it out, and be like, oh, okay, this isn't that bad, Governor, and want to play through it and screw around with it some more.
Yeah.
And again, it depends on the rewards. The battle pass, you get the favor from doing the seasonal stuff. So that's another thing people have a complaint about that isn't exactly what we're talking about, but like, you can't get the battle pass progression on your main character. So it is like, you have to do it. But it's again, like, well, then don't pay for the pass or jump in, do the thing. Like, there's a whole bunch of different things, but Blizzard is trying to get you to try something different, which somebody wrote in. I don't even know if I made it here. I think a lot of people wrote in about the variety, right? But it is that idea of let's go in there and try stuff out. Like, a lot of people were like, I'm excited to get in there and have the variety of it. And me too, honestly. Like, I love my character, but I have seen everything that character does. And like, you know, there's one in here I do want to read that is, you know, where I'm at, even though they're way higher than me. Jeremy writes in and says, I'm for it. Level 85 to 100 is just grinding out experience and small incremental improvements to your gear. The most fun for me was the leveling process early end game. Hoping the new content will make it even more fun. Same thing here where it's like, granted, again, I'm just starting my Paragon Points journey, right? They're further than me, Jeremy is. But it is that idea of like, cool, I filled in my entire skill tree and this is my character. And yeah, if I wanted to go be that person, I could Google best builds and change things to be, you know, but I'm not. I'm enjoying what I do and I have my poison and I run around and I poison people and I drop my little traps and do my thing and I move on. And it's like, I have now been doing that exact same thing for 10 hours. So like, yeah, why not roll a new character, see what's up, and then always come back to mine and have that be my end game character or whatever.
Are there concerns of predatory monetization practices being implemented and like these decisions being based around those? And I'm not assuming that there are, but I'm just asking you if it seems like there might be.
Wait and see. Yeah. Proof in the pudding kind of thing. You know, the battle pass is cosmetic. The battle pass is all these different things. I would think that if you were trying to make money off of, hey, we want you to come get this gear for your character, you'd let them use the character, right? If it was nefarious, it would be the characters you already have and love so much, we are sacrificing the balance of the game or you, so that we keep you the whale who is a level 90. But I guess even then that my own argument starts to fall apart because if you're level 90, if you're Fran, you're doing the season no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're running through and doing it. You'll wait and see. It seems like Rod and his team have been very vocal of like, no, this is all optional. This is not a money thing. This is like, it's like Fortnite. There's the free battle pass, you know, thing mm-hmm. where you can get certain things for free. And then there's the paid thing. And then there's the Fortnite paid thing to get, you know, whatever, 20 levels, 25 levels up. I forgot what it is. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. I don't think that is, no. I think this just is trying to get people through the door to stick with your game, do something different. I do think, you know, what do you think? Not every game, but a lot of these games of service, what is one of those things you hear all the time? I hit max level, I rolled the credits, I got to the end game, and then I stopped. It is that idea that as much as I love the Division 2 and love playing more Division 2, I'm never going to be the weekly raid person, right? As much as I enjoyed my time with Destiny and platinumed it and walked away, I was never going to be the person there trying to be raid ready, trying to go do the ultimate crazy thing. At a point in Diablo 4, right, that's all that's going to be left for you, is going after Uber Lilith, is getting up and doing these big things and the stuff they're going to update the game with and more of that stuff. But like, you get into those things that I think such a high percentage of your audience is never going to touch. And I would argue is never going to be interested to touch it, right? Like, Jen's never going to, I think, get to a point where it's like, all right, babe, now we need to grind for 30 levels so that we can go run this raid with Fran, so that we can, and you're going to have to run this very specific build and do this. Even me, I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound like fun for me. What does sound like fun is, hey, there's a new quest line in this season. You're going to make a new character. You're going to explore with a whole bunch of friends who are also figuring it all out and doing their whole thing and are in a very similar playing field for you. Like, that episodic structure, that seasonal structure, mm-hmm. does excite me. I would assume we are in the future. Like, we get to season 5, mm-hmm. and it is like, have I turned on Diablo in a couple seasons? Did I get distracted by Starfield or this or that or whatever? And like, probably, but guess what? It always means that season 7 could be the one where nothing else is out. And Mike's like, jabroni, let's go. And I'm like, all right. And we go and jump in and do a whole bunch of stuff.
Gotta tell you, Greg, I haven't raided in my life before. until Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah.
And it's the bane of my existence. It's the worst thing ever. Like, it's the worst functioning thing I think I've ever done in a video game, and they've just beat me down so much that I just have to take it.
Yeah.
The new raid just came out last night, and it's going all weekend. I still haven't beat it, and is it my fault that I haven't beat it, or is it the freaking internet? The way that Pokemon does these terror raids is the most embarrassing thing I have ever seen in a video game, Greg. I am embarrassed to play it. I'm embarrassed to be here talking about it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I have to beat this fucking...
Can you make a...
Fire Fox.
I don't know anything about it, so I apologize.
Yeah.
Can you make a party and go in?
You can. That doesn't fucking matter. Because it's... The whole thing, Greg, is based on time. There's like a time bar that is like slowly going down. And if you don't beat this thing in a cave before the time goes down, you and three people...
So this is like Pokemon Raids in Pokemon Go?
Kind of.
Because I remember in the time bar on one of those that
I mean, yes. Yeah, it's very similar to that, okay. But with the fully featured battle system. And it's just like you're saying, super advanced. You can't just take a random Pokemon in. Even if it's level 100, you're going to get your ass kicked. Like, you need to, like, perfectly train these things for raids. And I have, like, three raid-ready Pokemon. Unfortunately, none of them are equipped for this shit I'm dealing with right now. But the problem is Nintendo Online. On top of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet being the worst running games of all time.
Sure.
Those combined with a time meter where I'm waiting to just fucking input my attack as this time meter's going down.
No, thank you.
And it's just not even connecting. It's infuriating. And then the animations, the time doesn't change based on animation time. So if an attack takes fucking like this many more frames, you're just losing that much more time. It's a goddamn disaster, Greg. They got to figure the fuck out.
I have a kindoffunny.com/Sharon because, as you know, I was out there obviously talking about something that I haven't done yet with this season pass business and stuff. Matthew Adler, and a bunch of you also keep me honest. Thank you. When rolling a new character in Diablo 4, you do, and this is after you've beaten the campaign, you do have the option to skip the campaign, but you do start at level 1, not as level 50, like Greg said.
Oh. Okay.
So again, we are all starting from ground zero to go up, which again, I don't mind. In terms of like, okay, cool, I'm going to go do this thing. I was just confused about the campaign part and where you started. I apologize.
Yeah.
Again, if Jen would just let me fucking beat the campaign by myself, I would know all this.
But. All Jen's fault, dude. I get it. Story number two, though, somewhat related to this Diablo news. Diablo's getting its first new class in forever, but only on mobile. This comes from Wesley Yin Poole at IGN. Blizzard has revealed the Blood Knight, Diablo's first new class in nearly a decade, but it's not coming to the recently released Diablo 4. Not yet, anyway. Blizzard announced the Blood Knight launches in free-to-download mobile game Diablo Immortal on July 13th. The Blood Knight is described as a mid-range class with hybrid attack options that are either melee or ranged depending on your proximity to the target. It's a vanquisher of vampires, feeding on the life of its enemies and trapping them in shadows and specializing in the polearm weapon type.
Vanquisher of vampires.
Hell yeah.
Dope-ass name.
This sounds like a little beta test maybe for
that'd be a hope, right? You know what I mean? Diablo Immortal, obviously good for what it is, not necessarily what the hardcore whoever wants or whatever. So yeah, you'd hope that they go in there and do a bunch of stuff. And if it you know, there hasn't been a lot of people mad about this, obviously, because Diablo 4 just dropped. There's already so much stuff happening. Rod's already, you know, on the XCast was talking about expansions and what they want to do in future classes and da-da-da. So I have no doubt that, yeah, if this is a huge hit and stuff, that you'd see this transfer over to Diablo. Not transfer. Come to Diablo 4 at some point. But cool that they're still supporting it and still there.
Yeah.
And speaking of support. There's not more crossover. Speaking of support.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to support us and get the show ad-free. But for everybody else, here's a word from our sponsor. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break a pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. If you don't love your Shady Rays, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. Shady Rays Independence Day sale is live right now. You can go to ShadyRays.com and get up to 50% off single pairs of sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. ShadyRays.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
And we're back, everybody, with story number three. We've won. Sega pulls back from blockchain gaming as crypto winter persists. This comes from Takashi Mochizuki at Bloomberg. Sega Corp, the gaming studio once regarded among the staunchest advocates of blockchain gaming, is pulling back from an arena devastated by the global crypto industry meltdown. The company behind Sonic the Hedgehog and Yakuza will withhold its biggest franchises from third-party blockchain gaming projects to avoid devaluing its content, co-chief operating officer Shuji Utsumi told Bloomberg News. It's also shelving plans to develop its own games in that genre, at least for now, he added. I wonder if this is going to affect the super game that me and Bless are really interested in.
Oh, keep wait. Come on. They talk a little bit about
it. The remarks from an executive who launched the PlayStation at Sony Group Corp decades ago underscore a shift at the 60-year-old firm. Sega, along with rivals like Square Enix Holdings and Bandai Namco Holdings, previously advocated using blockchain-based technology it believes can boost the appeal of its titles. Those were the days platforms such as Axie Infinity where gamers earn tokens just by playing were taking off. But the digital currency market collapse wiped out much of their appeal. Sega does plan to let external partners use its lesser-known Three Kingdoms and Virtua Fighter characters for non-fungible tokens, a sort of certificate that confirms ownership of a digital asset. Oh, man. The company's intent to join the once red-hot NFT community, first announced in 2021, drew widespread criticism from gamers who viewed crypto technology as bad for the environment. Greg, I got hit up for an NFT sponsorship like 2 days ago, and I literally replied. I was like, are you really? Like, now? No.
Did you wake up from a coma?
So stupid. The action in play-to-earn games is boring, Utsumi told Bloomberg News. What's the point of games are no fun? My guy, let's go. Utsumi was also noncommittal about employing Web3 technology in what Sega dubs its Super Game Initiative, a lineup of big-budget online multiplayer games due to roll out from 2026. We're looking into whether this technology is really going to take off in this industry after all. Sega's shift reflects a broader cooling on the concept of Web3, a term used to describe an internet built around the blockchain that once attracted billions of dollars from the likes of Andreessen Horowitz. Peers such as Ubisoft Entertainment SA have pulled back on their investments in NFT games after drawing criticism amid low interests.
Got him!
It feels good, baby! God damn. Stupid-ass shit. Just wasting a whole bunch of time and money and my voice, Greg, my thoughts. The amount of time we got to talk about all this shit, and now here we are. The blue blur wins again. Sonic the Hedgehog said, mm-mm-mm.
He flirted with disaster, and he said, no, I'll turn back from the abyss.
Live and
I need
learn.
A chili dog.
Mm-hmm.
And not a non-fungible chili dog, a real chili dog.
Real chili
dog. I'm glad they finally got the message. I'm glad the message continues to finally get through, that we just don't want this shit. I also really do appreciate where they're just like, yeah, whatever. Fucking Three Kingdoms and Virtual Fighter. We don't give a shit. Keep going.
Yeah.
You want to make... We already signed the contract. You want to make an NFT out of that thing? Go for it. That's on you. Whatever.
Yeah. I do love the amount of big players they're talking about here. Ubisoft, Square, Sega. Like, the most major third parties that aren't Activision or EA at this point. Like, all of them. made some bets, and now they have to deal with it, and they're moving on. They're like, this ain't it. So, good.
Good. Now we turn our attention to the few people who are the holdouts, mm-hmm. who have said stuff before about their games. Isn't Dr. Disrespect, isn't his game got some NFT shit in it now?
Oh, I'm sure it does, but that's different, right? That's, I mean, I feel like that's kind of the whole point of it is that type of shit.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's my whole thing. Yeah. So, like, does that actually come to market ever or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like there is an audience for this shit. And if you're...
But is there?
I feel like
the audience for this shit is the audience trying to sell this shit.
But they all exist, and then they do sell each shit to each other.
But
it's convincing the other people. It's trying to convince other people to come in. That's the shit. It's like, leave us the fuck alone with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Story number four, again, somewhat related. Sonic co-creator sentenced for insider trading. This comes from Evan Campbell at GameSpot. Kevin, I don't know if we have the Sonic in jail background preset that Barrett made. I don't know if it's a preset. It should be a preset. The weird tale of an iconic former Sega developer who used insider information at Square Enix for stock trading has come to a close. Yuji Naka, the co-creator of my guy, Sonic the Hedgehog, and most recently the director of Balan Wonderworld.
Remember that game?
Game of the Year, 2019.
Huge one. Big hit.
Was given a 2.5-year prison sentence that's suspended for 4 years. GG Press via IGN reports that Naka, who also worked on Nights into Dreams, all-time classic, and Phantasy Star Online, was found guilty of insider trading while employed at Square Enix. That means he broke the law under Japan's Financial Instruments and Exchange Act. His suspended sentence gives Naka the chance to avoid jail time by staying out of trouble during the 4-year probation period. So there we go.
No insider trading.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
This is why you can only trust financial advice from me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know nothing.
You don't know shit.
No.
It's true.
How's my Ubisoft stock doing?
That's a good question. Look into that. While you look into that, I'm going to tell you about story number five. There's a Spider-Man 2 panel at San Diego Comic-Con. Just announced Marvel's Spider-Man 2 will.
I'm taking a bath. Oh, no!
If only.
It's down 7 cents from when I bought it.
If only you weren't giving advice and listening to it, you know?
First off, we all know Greg's number one rule. It's buy low, sell high.
Buy low,
all right?
Sell high.
And so don't you worry. It'll be back. Because, yeah, look at this. On Friday, June 30th, I was up 30 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll be fine. They're going to put out a game, and it's going to do well, and you'll see. I'll have a dollar on the dollar, whatever they call it.
Skull and Bones, man, just around the corner.
No. We'll sell before Skull and Bones. We'll sell before Skull and
Bones. Spider-Man 2 is going to be coming to San Diego Comic-Con this year, Thursday, July 20th. The cast and creative team will be in Hall H for an exclusive panel, Marvel's Spider-Man 2 Symbiotic Relationships.
Great title.
Games creative director Brian Intihar, game director Ryan Smith, narrative director John Paquette, and senior art director Jacinda Chu are joined by actors Yuri Lowenthal,
Woo!
Najee Jeter,
Woo!
Laura Bailey,
Woo!
And Tony Todd,
Woo!
Peter Parker, Miles Morales, Mary Jane Watson, and Venom, respectively, along with VP and creative director Bill Roseman,
Woo!
For Marvel Games The Homie, to discuss the upcoming PlayStation 5 game. Get a behind-the-scenes look at Insomniac Games' take on the monstrous Venom and how the symbiote plays a role in the sequel to the hit PlayStation games Marvel's Spider-Man and Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales at Hall H. Greg, this takes me back to the last Comic-Con that we went to, 2019, where you hosted the Marvel Games
panel. I did the Marvel Games panel for quite a while there.
A lot of people as well. And it's always a fun time.
It is.
I mean, Hall H, obviously, always a great time. But Marvel Games kind of crushing it. This one being Spider-Man 2, I feel like they just kind of keep elevating what they're doing. And I think that if you're going to be around, I would make your way to this one. I think
it'll be a fun one. That's a great panel of voice actors. See what they have. And they always announce something. They always talk about something from there and show suits and whatever. Will they show PS5 plates? So some Venom plates? Some Spider-Man plates? Maybe.
Maybe.
That'd be exciting.
Gotta get them plates.
I'd be excited for that plate.
At the Game Awards Orchestra that I went to a couple weeks back where they debuted the Spider-Man 2 theme, Brian came out, they did the whole thing, and like they treated Spider-Man 2 like the main event of that show. Like it got the most production value and like big effects and all that stuff going on, and it was exciting, and the crowd was like so into it, where I know this sounds like a stupid thing to say, but it's like PlayStation has a fucking hit on their hands.
Sure.
That it, like, Spider-Man feels like on a different level when there is that energy put towards it, for obvious reasons. Spider-Man is one of the biggest IPs in the world, period. But you put the talent behind it of an Insomniac and the push of a PlayStation and the pomp and circumstance, I feel like they're just on this really, really great roll towards Spider-Man 2. They've now proven themselves countless times with all the games they put out, but specifically Spider-Man, Miles Morales, to now have this Comic-Con moment that is just Spider-Man 2 for Marvel Games.
Yeah.
Again, just talking about Insomniac and Spider-Man, Marvel Games has been doing the same thing of just kind of building and building. Couple misses for sure, but overall, many hits. And I would say at this point, some extreme hits and then some hits that should have hit harder, but didn't get their due or whatever. And like, that's just shout out to them for doing their thing for as long as they have. And we've kind of seen it from the inception. But I think there's something really special about Spider-Man 2 getting its own panel at Hall H at Comic-Con.
100%. Yeah, Hall H is the biggest platform at Comic-Con for big announcements. Usually that's where, you know, all your movies are happening for Marvel, for DC, for anybody, right? And so, yeah, for it not to be a Marvel Games panel that includes Spider-Man and X, Y, and Z, just to be the Spider-Man 2 panel, just to be on Hall H's stage, that's awesome.
Yeah, really, really cool. So stay tuned to that. I'm sure some news will come from it, and we will cover it here on this show. Story number six, Street Fighter 6 sales. Benji Sales on Twitter says, Capcom has announced Street Fighter 6 has officially sold over 2 million units.
Units.
That's an additional 1 million sales for the game over the last 4 weeks. Crushing it out here.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to see big wins.
Did you ever start playing it?
I beat the arcade mode with Chun-Li.
Okay.
Dabbled a little bit. Have not gotten nearly as far as I'd want to because sure. Final Fantasy 16.
And of course.
Now I'm getting back to Zelda. So we'll see. Yeah. But dude, Street Fighter 6 is so good, dude. It is incredible. I feel like it's such a great entry in the franchise because it goes back to that. If you're a pro, you're going to have the best time ever. It's so finely tuned for you. But if you're not, it is such a good one to get into. Even if you, whether you're playing with the casual controls or I think Street Fighter's been around long enough that people can kind of like get used to playing it easier than something like a Mortal Kombat. Maybe I'm biased on that. I don't really know. But like there's something just about like the button combos and stuff that like we know. Like I feel like you would know how to do a Hadouken.
Okay.
Would you?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Hmm.
Half quarter rolls yeah. and all that shit. I don't fucking
Yeah,
know.
But that's it.
Okay.
Like that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, I feel like there's things that you just know inherently there. But if not, there's a casual mode that allows you to play, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun for people. But on top of that, like having the commentary, like the active voice commentary, explaining what's going on, is so good at teaching you what you're doing wrong or right and motivating you as a new player.
Interesting.
And also it's just hype as shit if you're a good player. So it's like
sure.
those little things that I feel like make Street Fighter 6 like a real standout entry in not only Street Fighter, but in the fighting game genre, period. And for it to come out and be selling well, be pretty much unanimously loved at this point, like it's really good for Capcom and for Street Fighter and for the future. Plus, and I have been talking about this forever now, like Street Fighter 6 is kicking off this renaissance of fighting games.
With sure.
Mortal Kombat, Tekken 8, Project L, all of those.
Multiverses like, when boom, it comes boom, back.
Boom, and that too as well. But anyways, it's really exciting. So good for you, Street Fighter 6. Story number 7. I guess one was added during the show here.
No, I just miscounted when I put them in.
Street
Fighter 6 snuck by me there. I forgot that I had that there. I didn't do it. Sorry, Kevin, I lied to you. Not 6, 7.
So here's another somewhat related. I don't know how this is
sales. It's a joke about sales.
Gotcha. It's a sales thing. Play Dave the Diver, everybody. Matt Piscatella tweets.
That's a great joke.
At Dave the Diver's current Steam peak curtain. Okay, at Dave the Diver's current Steam peak concurrent player growth rate, everyone on planet Earth should be playing this game on July 28th, 2023. We'll see if the math holds up, and then there's a fun little chart.
There's a chart here, yeah.
It's just exploding. You
know, exploding.
After June 20th. Greg,
yeah.
You got kind of excited about this one. I saw on our Slack, people were popping off a little bit. Janet and Bless talking about this
thing. Snowbike Mike streamed it a bunch of times over on Snowbike Mike's Twitch channel that I won't promote.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I haven't started it. I downloaded it to my Steam Deck, but I have been heads down on. I was doing a different review then. Now I'm on to a different review now, getting ready to wrap that up. Everybody loves it, and I can't wait to start it. You know, this little quirky little, what is it, action RPG or whatever, turn-based RPG or whatever it is, where you're going through. You do some fighting, you do some sushi making, you do some diving. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Kev, if you want to bring up the trailer for people who haven't seen it, like it's just a ridiculous game, a mashup of genres that apparently has a lot of heart and a lot of great gameplay. Got a 9 from IGN. I'm excited to get in there and go for it. But yeah, I haven't had the chance to turn it on yet.
Yeah,
that was one of those things. I was thinking about Survivor. Yeah, I was thinking about SummerSlam, where I was like, do I bring this? I'm like, no, fuck no. I gotta play Zelda.
I get it, man. So, this kind of came out of nowhere,
yes,
right? And 100%. It's having this big moment here.
Well, not only is it having its big moment, it's continuing to have its moment, right?
Exactly. Was it IGN giving it a 9 to kind of create?
Well, I got a bunch of different scores, of high scores on that day where it actually came out and had a pretty good, it was on the major sites with big reviews or whatever.
Okay, that's awesome. Because I remember, like, I always think back to Celeste, which always looked cool, but I would have, like, maybe played it. But IGN gave it a 10, and I'm wow, that really means something. So this, I appreciate.
I feel like this, I want to say the Metacritic was 90 when it launched. On top of that, might be something else, but it was one that turned heads. We talked about on the show that it was like, what the hell is this game, and why is everybody stoked for it?
Yeah, so people saying it's big on Steam. So yeah, hey, cool. Everyone, check this out. It does look pretty dope, pretty interesting,
a lot of heart. That's what's got me about it.
Reference there.
You know, you're cooking, like you saw, you're fishing, you're bartending. It's and my thought was when I first, I saw this trailer the day before the reviews went live, and I was like, damn, this looks cool, but it's got an 89 right now on Metacritic, by the way. Damn, this looks really cool, but is it going to hold up? Is it going to be one of those indies that's over in 3 hours and you touch every one of these games in, you know, 30 seconds and then none of them feel as good? They feel good, but they aren't the game, and yet, and that's not the case at all. It goes on for a long time and everybody loves it.
Huh. Well, there you go. There's Dave. He's diving. You can too. But Greg.
Yeah.
You beating Zelda seems so far away.
Sure it does.
But if I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop Shops today, what would I look for?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Hate it. Thank you. Makes me feel classic, Greg. Makes me feel fancy, Greg. Garlic, the precision platformer, is out today on PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. I can't wait to play this, Greg. This is one of those ones, like I was talking about Celeste a second ago. I'm like, I'm going to play it. I want to play it, but I don't know if I'm going to.
Yeah.
So let's get a 10. Garlic, I'm like, I'm playing this thing.
Yeah. Blessed has been playing it. He loves it.
Oh, he's been playing it.
Yeah. Easy platinum, too. Because it's a Rataleika game, but a good game. What's wrong? Why is that deflate?
Well, I didn't know he had codes. I want a code.
You just got to pay attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I messed that up.
You're so busy at work, you can't be part of every conversation or every Trello conversation?
Jeez, man, that's wild.
What code, where do you want it? What platform do you want?
I'll buy it on Switch.
Okay. Excuse me, money bags. You know what I mean?
Apple Arcade, Slay the Spire Plus, and Lego Duplo World Plus coming out today. Full Quiet on Xbox, Safari Pinball on PC and Xbox, The Legend of Heroes, Trails into Reverie on PC, PS, and Switch, Tad, The Lost Explorer, Craziest in Madness Edition, comes to the Switch today. New days for you, next Friday, Ridiculous Fishing on EX Apple Arcade.
Yeah, Ridiculous Fishing EX on Apple Arcade. Sorry, I did some shorthand there for myself. I forgot you were going to read it.
It's all good. Deals of the day. This comes from GameSpot. PS5 owners can save on the DualSense controller ahead of Prime Day 2023. Amazon is offering the white DualSense controller for $59, down from $70.
You'd tell them to go get that Edge, though, wouldn't you?
I really would, man. I love it so much. $200, though. It's just unreasonable.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, controllers are just so expensive in every way.
It's $70. All the power. Man. It's all the AM. Come on. It's got a microphone. It's got a microphone built in.
I get it. It has a lot of stuff. But $70 is just the default, like, for a controller. I remember $50 for PS2, and I was like, this is a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot of money for a controller. And yeah, so $70 just seems like wild. And it's been this way for a while. Like, I think even the Pro controller on the Switch side was this much. So I get it. There's a lot of tech. There's a lot of things in it. But that jump to the Edge, $200 smackaroos. And sure, it comes with the fancy case and all this. I don't need all that shit. You know?
Yeah.
I just don't.
You just want the controller. Do you want the paddles?
The paddles, but like I only want specific paddles. And I get that it's an enthusiast thing, so the more custom you get, like, it starts being a problem, and that's where the cost comes. Is it worth it? That's the question I can't answer.
It is a big question.
But I will say, for me it is. I love this controller. It's easily my favorite controller ever. The battery so bad, man. Playing Final Fantasy 16, it's like just, it is an insult to it all to me, where I was like, hey, I can deal with it, whatever, it's fine. It's not fine.
Yeah.
It's really not fine, man. Like, having to play, or not having to, getting to and wanting to play a game for 13 hours in a day.
It's like, a lot. It's a lot of hours in a day.
It's unfortunate, like, because it's just like having to just keep in mind, like, the stress of the battery and all that stuff shouldn't be the case for $200.
Understood.
But it is. I understand. Greg?
Yeah.
Let's do a little thing I like to call kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. And guess what, Greg?
What?
We fucking nailed it.
100%. Except for that Diablo thing I got wrong. Thanks for correcting me, everybody.
But we're all good. Thank you guys for keeping us honest by being honest yourselves and knowing that we are in fact perfect.
Indeed.
Let's see what else we got for you. This week's host, next week's host, Monday, doing something a little different. It's a GameSpot takeover. We got Lucy James and Devontae Chisalem coming through. Make some fun little, announcements. Are they just doing this for funsies?
No. Lucy was like, yo, Devontae would like to come over and see the studio. I was like, all right, we got to work for it.
Hell yeah.
I'll let you guys take over the show. I'm not just giving free tours around here.
That's going to be a lot of fun having Lucy here once again with Devontae for the very first time. And then on Tuesday, it'll be Greg and Bless. Wednesday, it'll be me and Greg. Thursday, Greg and me. And then Friday, it will be Stella Chung and Greg Miller.
That's right.
That's fun.
Yeah. Well, Stella heard that, of course, GameSpot was going to take over. She's like, I have to represent IGN. I was like, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will she lift me? Who knows?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. If you're watching live on the YouTube and live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post show where Andy is going to come in to talk to us about Games Daily. All the questions you have, your super chats will be answered. So stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with us before the next Kinda Funny stream starts. You can write your questions in on YouTube via super chat or over on Twitch with your resub messages or subscription messages, and we will get to all of them. But until then, Greg, this has been Games Daily, and it's been our pleasure to serve you.